So this morning, we have such an exciting morning planned. We just want to talk to you about what's happening during the service today, because many of you get to see people up here going underwater, being submerged, and some don't even know what's happening. This is water baptism. So today, you get to participate with water baptism. And what water baptism is, this is not a religious act. This is a supernatural thing that is going to happen. And all of these people that have declared Jesus as their Lord and Savior, when they go under this water today, there are going to be some things that get buried in that water. They aren't coming back up with them. Bondages, addictions, generational curses, health issues, mindsets, whatever they are that are not lined up with God, anything holding you back, that's getting buried in that water right there. And you're coming up brand new, never to be the same again. So that's what's happening during this time of worship this morning. So let's celebrate with these people that are never going to be the same again today. Thank you, Mackenzie.
I am so excited to praise God this morning. Are you guys excited to praise with me? If you just want to stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for blessing this service. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and your joy that is already here. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Story. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have. Oh, happy day. Jesus.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Maybe there's some of you that needs to just come down to the altar right now. Maybe some of you need to get down on your face and just give yourself away. Maybe you need to lift up your hands and surrender and give yourself away. Maybe there's some things in your life right now that are hindering you. Maybe there's some people that are holding you back in your life, some situation, some sin. Maybe it's just your mindset. You need to give that away right now. In the presence of the Lord, you're going to give it away. So just come to this altar. Lift up your hands. This is where we give it away. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Because my life is not my own. To you. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. to you I belong. I give myself to you.
Jesus, I don't know if we can come to you enough and just simply say, we need you. God, we can be strong, we think in the flesh, but in one second, Lord, our entire lives can change. God, we thank you that you are ever present, and even in times of trouble. That God, you are our strength, you are our stronghold. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you have that cleft of the rock for us to climb into while the storms are raging around us. Father, I pray for all those, Lord, that are in the room and watching by live stream and those that will be watching by television even later. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will draw every one of us closer. Father, for those who have started to slide away, I pray that you'll snatch them this morning. Lord, that you revive them this morning, that you'll breathe into their spirit this morning, that God, even that sin that so easily besets them, that you'll break its power in their life. God, they might excel in the greatest thing that they could ever acquire, and that is you. So Jesus, with all of our getting this morning, we want to get more of Jesus. So we surrender our lives. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. So we surrender all that we are and all that we have, even the dreams, God. And we say, dream through us, Jesus. You are the greatest. You have the greatest purpose. Lord, I just thank you that this morning we have the privilege of being in your house together. What an honor to lift our hands and to sing to you. Lord, I pray, Father, that every one of us will recognize with that same passion the woman with the issue of blood had, I am not leaving till I get what I've come for. Father, I just thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. For those who were watching the water baptism and wondering, you know, sometimes we took a little bit longer with other people. You know something? We're not interested in getting people wet. We're interested, it's not just showing on the outside what God has done on the inside. It's God healing and transforming and restoring a soul. The intellect, the emotions, and it has to be a supernatural move. Jesus never did anything out of tradition. He only did things to change lives. Amen? So maybe you were baptized many, many, many years ago, and all you did was get wet. I want you to know God wants to transition. You can get baptized again. It's all right to get baptized more than once. If you need your soul reupholstered, you need your heart healed, you need to bring into alignment your soulish man, intellect, emotions, and will. This is a great experience to have God change your life. Because we're not going to get you wet. We're going to get you filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. The Lord is healing a woman's right ovary right now in the name of Jesus. You feel tinges of pain. You put your hand on it. You'll feel the power of God. The heat of heaven will be released by your hands, touching your body, and you'll be healed right where you stand in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are powerful. That God, you are our healer. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, why don't you go find five or six folks you don't know? Listen now, don't be a snob and sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. You have another minute. At least turn around to somebody and say good morning. Hallelujah.
Give myself away so you can use me.
Help me, yeah. I never will forget.
Guess what? We got our annual Harvest Festival coming up. It's October 31st. We're coming right here at your local church from 6 to 8 p.m. Guess what else we're doing? Trunk or treat! That's where we're putting candy in the trunks, and we're treating these kids. Bring your friends, bring yourselves, bring your kids, of course. We're going to have lots of fun for our annual Harvest Fest. October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. Make sure you're here.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow, really? Is that as good as you can get? Good morning. Good morning. Amen. We want to welcome our first-time guests to the house this morning. Can I have any first-time guests in the house? Can you raise your hand? We want to welcome you to His tabernacle. We're glad to have you with us. You over here, you can put your hands right back down. Thank you. Any first-time guests in the house, we have a gift for you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you up to the altar or anything like that, but we want to get a gift in your hands. And after the service, there is a connection card right inside. We got one right over here. She's not a guest. Nuh-uh. I know her. So, listen. All right, so anyway, what you want to do is there's a connection card right inside of that bag that we're giving to you. Fill that out. Please bring it to our hub or to our guest center after the service, and we will bless you. So thank you so much. Can we give our guests a hand clap this morning? Even though some raise their hand, they weren't. Amen. We also want to welcome our live streamers. Hey, online campus, we want to say thank you for joining us this morning. We are blessed to have you. We hope that you are blessed wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that you're receiving the word and the anointing this morning. So bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Amen. So we have something exciting we want to talk to you about this morning. Last week, we started talking about our new program called Next Steps. Amen? Did y'all get that last week? So we've installed that here at His Tabernacle. We have heard questions like, what am I supposed to do now? Anybody said that before? Or maybe you might have said, how can I learn more? Well, we have your answer. It's called Next Steps. All right? Whether you're a new believer or just starting your walk, or you're just wanting more, the next steps is going to be for you. Amen? All right, Pastor Cody.
We're really excited about this. And honestly, it's not a massive change from what we already do. We've just structured it so it's very easy to know what we kind of want you guys to do to grow. Because isn't that the goal? We don't want to just show up and remain babies in Jesus. We want to grow up. Amen. That's the goal here. We don't want to just have people come. We want to have people grow and then go as well. So we're really excited. Step one is going to be foundations, which is catch the vision. Who's been to catch the vision before? A couple people. But we're going to make it really, really easy for you. Catch the vision will now be an online class starting, I believe, October 4th. So you can go right on there, watch it online, and get that accomplished on your own time. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning in between services, trying to get your kids, trying to do all that crazy stuff. The next step, though, is really exciting, and this is rock solid faith. Who's been in completed rock solid faith in this house before? I'm telling you, rock solid faith is the best thing you can do for your spiritual walk. It is phenomenal, but we've done it a little bit different now. We're going to have four semesters that are 8 weeks long each. So it's not this massive marathon. It's going to be, it's broken down. It's really, really good.
Cody, we just talked to Brother Chico last night, and he now holds the record over pastors 2 years.
Oh, no.
Chico took 9 years to get somebody through Rock Solid Faith.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's an anointing right there. That is an anointing to do so. But honestly, this is going to be the same times, Tuesdays at 7, Wednesdays at 9, or Thursdays at 6 p.m. And it's going to be broken up into 1 year. 1 year. You can sign up for this. This is going to start on October 4th. So if you haven't gone and completed Rock Solid Faith yet, we want to encourage you. The very first step after Catch the Vision is Rock Solid Faith. And if your neighbor... if you haven't gone to Rock Solid Faith, you saw your neighbor raise their hand, just ask them why you should go. I'm promising you, this is something you need to be a part of. This is such a catalyst to your relationship with Jesus. I've seen before that you worship to the level of understanding that you have. And I'm telling you, if we want to worship at a greater level, we want to serve Jesus at a greater level, we need a greater understanding of him. I got to go quick. We have discipleship as well, which is more one-on-one work, and then connection groups. Step two is going to start October 25th. Those of you who said you've completed Rock Solid Faith, wave your hand at me one more time real quick. There you go. Here's what's going to happen for you. We're going to have classes that are 8 weeks long, and we want to focus on very specific things. So October 25th, we're starting. They will be Tuesdays at 7 p.m. This is what we're going to go through. We're going to go through marriage, faith and finances, family and parenting, character building, stewardship, spiritual warfare, overcoming hurt and offense, men's and women's encounters, and we're going to get you or keep you in connection groups. But we want to run through those classes because we believe that once you have a foundation, you have to keep growing, and these are pinnacle pieces to living a Christian walk every single day.
All right, so here we are. We got our foundation, and we have our building process. We're completed that. So moving into step three is about expanding, right?
So we have end times, which is what we're going to cover, and that's basically a deeper look into end time prophecy and how it applies to us today. Again, likened unto step two, these classes are going to consist, again, of 8 weeks, okay? So you're going to have that going through, and then evangelism, this is how you can learn how to take your faith to the world. Amen. And then we also have Empowering Pastors Leadership Academy. This is about training up the up-and-coming leaders. And then connection group training, those that want to be able to lead groups, small groups. We want to be able to give you the tools to lead your groups. So then last week we have step four, which is fulfilling. Everybody likes the word fulfilling, right? I don't think many people did. Anyway, so step four is about fulfilling. So we have leadership training. This is an ongoing training for development and advancement offered weekly every single Tuesday at 12 p.m. with Pastor Spencer. So you can get that in class and you can get it online. We also do have that online and it is recorded for you. There's also Region Bible Institute. Amen. RBI students are giving a yell. This is a more in-depth study and opportunity to pursue a Bible college degree. So we want to offer that as well. And then leading and supporting. This is where you step up to the plate. You become a leader. You're supporting other leaders. You're doing the will and fulfilling what God's called you to do. Amen? Amen. All right, so here we go. Just like any house being built, there are certain requirements. We, too, have to take the responsibility for what God has given us. Amen? Next Steps provides growth and advancement. So each step that we take represents accomplishment, giving the focus to keep moving. No house is built without first a foundation, right? Once that is done, then you begin building. Many would settle here and say, that's enough for me. Right? Well, no, we're not doing that. But we're encouraging you here at His Tabernacle to keep expanding your territory. So from there, it's all about making the house complete, which is ultimately fulfilling the call and purpose and plan that God has on your life. So here's my question for you in ending. What is your next step? Pastor Rhonda.
Oh, at histabernacle.com, you can get all of these steps and get connected right there. Go ahead and go on today. By the end of the day, will you go on histabernacle.com and get yourself plugged in to your next steps? Can we just give a round of applause for the people that got water baptized today? I am so excited for them. Their lives are never going to be the same again. Right now, we're entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And, you know, the question that comes up, why should I tithe? So can I just read you the Word of God? I'm not going to tell you Pastor Rhonda's words. I just want to read the Word of God. Why should I tithe? Matthew 22:21 says, "Render unto God the things that are God." Render unto God the things that are God. Psalms 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Leviticus 27:30. Actually, everything belongs to Him. If it were not for Him, there would be no land, no seed, no breath, no income, no life. How generous He is to tell us. The tithe is the Lord. Tithe means 10%. How generous He is to say that the tithe is His when actually everything belongs to the Lord. So sometimes we can say, well, I'll just let somebody else give. No one else's giving takes care of your responsibility, your tithe that is holy to the Lord. Matthew 23:23 says, "You pay tithe. This you ought to have done." You cannot harvest yourself personally without seed in the ground. And we start and prepare the process through our tithes and offerings. So that is simply why we tithe, because the Word of God explains it is our obligation to give our 10% to the Lord. So if you're ready to give this morning, let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. Again, it's the Word of God, Deuteronomy 28. When we tithe, if you'll repeat after me, it says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithe and your offering to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, go ahead and click on the giving button and give right along with us.
It's a totally different viewpoint up here when you sing that song. This is what a lot of people's faces are. Turn around, smile at somebody, please. Tell them, glory to God, you're breathing. That's a good sign. Hallelujah. Now, I do want to address all those that have just moved their seats this morning. You've confused your pastor. A lot of people have moved their chairs this morning. We are blessed today. Our brother Chico Hernandez from Mexico, Cuba, hallelujah, is here for a visit. One of the young ladies that he sent to Bible school here in New York is here from Campeche, and he came to visit her. So we want to welcome Brother Chico. He's going to welcome you. I believe he's going to sing. And then my wife and I are going to preach the word.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anyhow, I'm just so blessed. And first of all, I want to say I really appreciate your pastors. It's been about 20 years, right, since I met 21 years since I met him in Frederick, Maryland. I was in the area, and somebody said they got a strange preacher coming to town. Okay? So I said, I like the strange part of it, so I said, let me go down there. So I went over there, and they were right. He was strange. He was rare, okay? But one thing that really stuck out was, I really appreciated that, he had the power of the Holy Ghost, okay? And we connected and then met his wife and then the children and the family, and they're doing a great work, okay? They've been a blessing to us in many ways. They've been down to Mexico, and they're going soon to Mexico again. And we really appreciate that. I just want to tell you, we really appreciate you guys and the great work you're doing, okay? And also, I saw Rudy back here, okay, a while ago. Okay, he's back there. Okay, Rudy, I knew Rudy's father before Rudy thought he was going to be born. And I'll never forget because his dad, Jose, came up to our church when I used to pastor in Pasadena, Texas. And he came out one day. I saw him very quiet, but he got power too. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And he came in and stayed faithful with us for years, I'm talking about. And then when I left, He stepped up to the plate. He continued pastoring. And of course, he got married in between all that. And then we met Martha. And they're doing a great work through the years there. And one day I dropped in and I saw Rudy after all them years. And I looked at him and I said, man, this young man is a blessing. Right? I looked at him and he looked at me and I looked at him and he looked at me. And then I said, I told Evelyn, I said, we ought to connect him over there with Pastor Mike Spencer, okay? And praise God, I talked to his mom and the dad, and they worked it out. And look at him, he's right here. And no matter where I'm at in the world, I know how you're doing here, okay? So I really appreciate that. Every report I've gotten has been good, okay? Really appreciate Rudy and also his sister and the whole family. And then it was last year I was in Campeche, and then I met the young lady, Sandy, okay? Levanta la mano, okay, Sandy. And I talked to her parents, and she was interested in coming. The first time they didn't give her visa, but we prayed through. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, okay? There were 5 students that we wanted to send in with Sandy, and nobody got the visa later on. Only she got it. So I told her, this is God's timing for you, okay? Worked it out. Pastor Obi helped us out and all the letters. You got to be careful how you make out the letter and everything. He fixed it, and she got her visa, and she's right here, and she's doing a great work also. I really appreciate that. Estamos diciendo que damos gracias, Señor, por ti, okay, y por el esfuerzo y todo, como Dios te abrió la puerta y te dieron la visa, okay? So she's doing good, and I told her, learn English, okay? And I appreciate all those that are helping her, Spanish that are helping her and translating, but I told her, do as much, the least that you have to try to practice your English. So she'll learn that, and then when she go back, she'll be tremendous over there in Mexico, okay? And I was going to ask the pastor, since he's here, how do you think? Do you think I lost a couple of pounds?
You lost a lot of pounds.
Okay, praise God. I just want to hear it. Okay. I already knew I did, but I want to hear it from the pastor.
Okay. I want to be sure. Thank
you. All right, good. Perfect. Yeah, I knew I had lost some, but then since you said it, you know, so my goal is, and keep me in prayer, I need to lose 15 pounds. By December the 31st, okay? I believe I can do it. How many believe I can do it? Right, all right, good. This is good. So keep me in prayer. It'll be the first time in 40 years since I came back from Vietnam. It'll be the first time that I will be under 300 pounds. And that's a victory. Let me tell you, because with all that stuff, when I had my head injury there and all that stuff, they put it in your body and stuff like that, and then no exercise, you gain a lot of weight. But I said, nah, in Jesus, I'm going to lose it. Of course, I want to clarify, I'm going to lose the pounds, okay? And I want to hang around here as long as possible. But I got a special for you. And my wife sends greetings. She said it's too cold up here for her during this time of year, okay? You understand, we were in Mexico. Heat index 103, 105 for 4 months, and then we went to Florida, heat index 102, 103, and then when I told her it was going to be around 40 or something like that, at nighttime, her faith was not sufficient. So I got a special for you, and I want to say I'm going to sing it in Spanish and English. I know there's a lot of people here, you're studying your Spanish. I told you a few years ago that if you're going to go to heaven, you got to know one word, okay, because they're going to say, vámonos, okay? And then the trumpet will sound, and they're going to say, vámonos. They say, let's get on out of here, okay? You don't have time to ask, what did he say? Because you're going on a second trip. Okay, so vámonos is your word, okay, so we can get and meet you up there. But it goes like this. Dame un nuevo corazón, Señor. Un corazón para adorarte, un corazón para servirte. Dame un nuevo corazón, Señor, porque eres dulce como la miel, limpio como el cristal, un corazón, como el tuyo, Señor. Give me a brand new heart. Give me a heart that I could worship. Give me a heart that I could serve you. Give me a brand new heart. Because you're sweeter than honey, clearer than glass. Give me a heart after you. Dame un nuevo corazón, Señor, un corazón para adorarte, un corazón para servirte. Dame un nuevo corazón, Señor, porque eres dulce como la miel, limpio como el cristal, un corazón como el tuyo, Señor. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. How many of you love Brother Chico Hernandez? We love you, Brother Chico. Amen. We started last week on Welcome Home Sunday. I do want to ask, how many here speak fluent Spanish? One, two students. Oh, that's right, student. Anybody else? Oh, in the back. Oh, we're marking everybody. Glory to Jesus. Amen. We'll be doing a missions trip to Campeche, Mexico in the month of February. If you are interested in going, you're going to need to just pay attention on the website. We'll set that up for you. This is the year of Kingdom Seed. I just love preaching. And you know, today we started last week with Welcome Home Sunday. And how my wife and I were sharing with you that this is not about a religious institution. How one of the great things that the enemy has seeped into the body of Christ is that we are part of, and we just go to church. We go to church when we feel like it. We go to church when we have time for it. We go to church when it works in our schedule. But what's happened is there's been a dilution in the kingdom of God with understanding that this is not about a religious institution. This is about God's home. This is God's house. Now, God does not dwell in houses made with hands, but he has declared that in the last days especially, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. See, God is calling the body of Christ back to unification. What do we mean by that? Remember with the Tower of Babel? They were moving and they were building this massive tower, and this is what God said. God said, when they put their hearts and their minds towards one thing, it doesn't matter what it is, they'll accomplish it. You see, there's so much fragmentation in the mindset of the body of Christ in today's world. We're all so busy. We have so much on our plate. We're running here, we're running there, and when we have time for God's house, it's no longer a lifestyle that it used to be when we were children. Life has gotten busy, but it's actually stolen from us. You see, church, being in the house of God, was one of lifestyle when we were children. It was a normal thing to be in church. And I was saying last week, everybody was your uncle and aunt. You weren't really sure who was and who wasn't. You know, you just kind of walked around and you knew everybody. It was a relationship base. But what's happened in today's church, a lot of shifting has happened. And I believe it's one of the most plotted, diabolical ideals that the devil can have. And that is, it keeps people from really knowing who they are in Jesus. It keeps people from the house of God. And it keeps people from working in the house of God. Therefore, we can't move as one. Remember, the job of the pastor is simple. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And it makes this declaration. And Jesus gave gifts to men. And he said he gave the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. For what reasons? For the working of the saints in ministry. You see, God has called you to be a worker. Turn to someone and say, you're called? Tell somebody else, you're called to work in the kingdom. The Bible says also to bring us to unity. And that is that we're not all going to agree with everything, but the unity of the faith. And that is we're moving in the same vision. We're moving in God's word. We're moving in God's passion. And the last is that we grow up in Christ. Turn to someone and say, you need to grow up. These are the principles that the job are, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. And so this morning we want to do something, again, a little bit different. We want to talk to you about pastoring. We want to talk to you about what it means to be the pastor.
Why is that important? Because, again, just like with church, people's minds have been twisted and contorted into the American mindset rather than the word's understanding. Many times with the church, and it's not a few, but especially denominational churches, that the pastor is their hired hand. The pastor, they hire him. They get a bunch of resumes. They look through the resumes. They either like him or they don't like him. They have him come preach. And if it looks good, then they'll hire him. And when they hire the pastor, many times what occurs is what's called a board-run church, where the pastor is no longer the head of the church. The Bible says that Christ is the head over the church, but he's placed order. The Bible declares in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 33, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing that flows down the head of Aaron all the way down to his feet." And it's there that God commands his blessing. You see, the anointing flows from the head down, not the feet up. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And so what's happened is, in many churches, the pastor has become the hired hand. He's become that person that they hire and then they fire. I just dealt with a young man. I was really saddened in my spirit down near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The church, he was hired into a church, and God was blessing him. In fact, the church was added to. Within 2 years, over 150 new souls came to the kingdom of God. That's phenomenal growth. And what happened was this. The church board didn't like how he moved in the Holy Spirit, Brother Chico. They didn't like how he laid hands on people. So one day the church board made a declaration, and it was this. And it was, "We don't want you to be our pastor anymore." So they not only hired him, they fired him. The issue is this. Not that you can't hire or fire. The issue is they completely did not understand the calling and the purpose and the mandate of ministry and pastoring. Now, the problem with that is how you view something is how you identify with something. How you perceive is how you receive. You've heard me say multiple times in the house over the years, there have been people that are coming here over 10 years that I'm still not their pastor. They come to this church, they call it their church, but I'm still not their pastor. And so today we want to just deal with how to, let's do some tweaking in our own spirit. Let's bring the word of God to understanding. And that is that we've got to know what God's understanding and concept is, not only of church being his home, but what in the world is the calling of a pastor? Why is the pastor in the church? What is their significance? What is their importance? Why did God send this one here? You see, when you know that, then there is a different level of acceptance and receptivity because you identify with what God's plan is. How many of you want God's plan more than anything else? One thing you notice is that people pop from church to church. What you'll find is we call them church hoppers. Church hoppers are great people. They love God. But again, it comes down to their understanding of what the job of the pastor is and what the church is called to actually do. When we grasp a hold of this, everything transitions in our mind because we now have an understanding. When you have understanding, you can live within that. Now, I'm not talking about people that are leaving abusive churches. There are abusive churches out there. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But today, I don't want to talk about abusive churches. I want to talk about His Tabernacle Family Church and the hearts of your pastor with the heart of God. Is that fair? Open in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. And it says this, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of which way of my ways which will be taught in Christ, as I teach everywhere in the church." There's one thing that can never be questioned or misunderstood, and that is God is the Father of all of us. Can I hear an amen? You see, God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can't give a son if you're not a father. God is our father. There is nobody that gets glory besides our God. Can I hear an amen? You see, to God be the glory, great things he has done. He is our heavenly Father. He is our Abba Father. The scripture talks so powerfully about in Romans chapter 8 how we can call him Abba Father. The word Abba is the most intimate Aramaic word for daddy. You know, a lot of people have a problem, and many times those that have come out of many liturgical style churches, and when they pray, calling him daddy. But you see, Father God has told us to call him daddy. He's told us to have that intimate relationship with him, where we walk with him and we talk with him. There is an intimacy with our Father that cannot be hidden. And then he sent his son. Who is his son? Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. And Jesus made a declaration, I only do what my Father has told me to do. You see, this is an important factor of understanding how powerful our Father in heaven is and how desperate he is for you to know him and walk with him and talk with him. And many times, what we do is many of us don't have a relationship with the Father. We are saved. We've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, but we've never spent time building a relationship with God. And can I grab you this morning and just say this? God wants you to know him, not just know about him. He wants you to know him. You see, so many people have said, God works in mysterious ways. How many of you have ever heard that statement? How many of you know that's not in the Bible? God doesn't work in mysterious ways. In fact, he said in the book of John chapter 15, Jesus made the declaration, now I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, and I want to reveal to you what the Father is going to do. Father God wants you to really know him, and the Lord is so desperate in that relationship for your life. Today, I just want to challenge you. If you really are not spending time with the Lord every day, spend time with him. He longs to talk with you. He longs to encourage you. He longs even to correct you. He is an awesome father. Some of you have never had a dad. He is an awesome dad, and he'll never destroy you. He'll only build you. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I sure love my heavenly Father. Another type of father that we have on this earth is this. It's our earthly dads. Now, you all have an earthly blood dad. You might not all have an earthly dad. But everybody here has had a father, some man who placed his seed, and therefore now you are from his seed. The Bible makes a declaration that we should honor. In fact, this is the very first promise in the scripture for you and I to have long life. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall have long life. Now, it doesn't mean you got to agree with them, but it means you've got to honor them. Can I hear an amen? You see, honoring is so powerful because when we understand honor brings access, then we understand, first of all, with Father God, the more we honor him, the more the heavenly access is open to us. The more we honor our earthly parents, the more God said he'll give us long life. So we have our heavenly Father, where our full allegiance is required and necessary. We have our earthly dads, where we have to bring honor. And then there's another level of fathership that we see in the scripture, and it's called spiritual parenting. It's called spiritual fatherhood. Now, there's without question people that have taken this to where it's been abuse. And I believe in the kingdom, what's happened many times is this, is when we see abuse, we go the complete opposite. When we see something done incorrect here, we don't bevel it out. We just run to the opposite end of the spectrum. We run to the other paradigm. But scripturally, we cannot run from this reality. And you see, this is a change that when happens in your spirit, you no longer can see your pastor as a hired hand. You see them for who God has called them to be and place them in your life. And this is why many do not understand, many do not have allegiance in the process of faithfulness. Many live in this realm because they do not have the conception of what God has placed on this planet to prepare his people to fulfill his destiny. You see, this thing called spiritual parenting is found right there, and we read the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says this. Paul is talking. He said, let me go back to that verse here real quick. It said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. Now, a true pastor is going to be a father in the faith. Now, what do we mean by that? A father is not one who abuses the children. A father is not one who lords over the children. A father is one who imparts, and especially when you're talking a spiritual father, that we then have to grasp what Jesus said. I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only go where the Father has told me to go. So a true pastor is one that is going to do what the Father would do because that's what Jesus did. What's happened in today's reality is we have a bunch of pastors who are running around doing their own little thing. They're running around with their own little agenda. How can I climb my corporate, spiritual, corporate ladder? How can I get so big that my name is known in lights? Or how can I make so much money that I can live and have all of the things of the world? It can never be that with a pastor. A true pastor has the heart of the Father. A true pastor has the heart for the people. A true pastor is not just an instructor, because you can have somebody standing up behind the pulpit and preaching a nice message, but a true pastor is one who has the people of God in their spirit. I love what Paul made the declaration. He said, I pray for you daily. Why? Because he was moved with compassion because they were his spiritual children. You know, as moms and dads, one of the things that happens with our babies is there is such a need for us to make sure our kids are safe. How many of you as parents have been concerned for your children before? How many of you sat back and you said, oh my goodness, I just wish I could snatch them and throw their head into the wall. Maybe they'd wake up. How many wanted to do that twice? All right. Honestly, as a pastor with the heart of God, God's heart is always to protect his people. God loves to make sure that you are safe. God loves to make sure that no evil will befall your house. God's passion, he said, I even set my angels around those who love me. How many of you love Jesus this morning? That means you have at least four angels. You don't have one. You have at least four angels surrounding you. Who sent them? God the Father sent them. Why? Because he wants to make sure that you're safe. Because as a loving dad who once held you in his arms, when you looked up and you called him Abba Father. You know, I remember one time, what was that lady's name that we were sitting down across? She was an older, Fuchsia Pickett. How many of you have ever heard of Fuchsia Pickett? Oh my goodness. She was old as Jesus when I met her. Pastor Mary Edlin sat us across the table from her as we sat down and we ate. And here my wife and I are listening to Fuchsia Pickett talk, and she's talking about her dad. Now, I think at that time she was 82. That was many, many years ago. And what's that? Maybe older. And she's talking about her dad, and I'm thinking, you know, in my head's calculating. 20 years. Wow, he's like 202. But then as she was finishing her conversation, she actually revealed she wasn't talking about her natural dad, her blood dad. She was talking about her heavenly Father. Oh my goodness, you know what happened at that moment? I realized I don't even know anything about Daddy. It overwhelmed me to the place where I was like, I have got to spend more time with Jesus. I've got to spend more time with my Father. I've got to know him, because how she knows him and how I know him, not even close. And I remember as when my child was born, I'll talk about Cody first and last. I remember with Cody, he was born with a pneumothorax. And that is, he blew his lung on the way out. So we didn't get the chance of him sitting on the chest and cutting the umbilical cord and all that stuff. They took the kid, they cut the cord, whisked him off into the ICU. He was bluish. And they were getting ready to call, this was in Ithaca, getting ready to call the helicopter in so that they could ship him down to the Arnett, down to the NIC unit. And I remember looking in the window and looking as he was in that incubator, as he was gasping for breath. As a natural father, I felt absolutely insufficient. I felt there was nothing I could really do to help this kid. And the truth was, there was nothing I could do to help that child. I was his dad, but I was helpless. But I want you to know today that your heavenly Father is not helpless. No matter what trial you're going through, no matter what tribulation you're going through, no matter what the doctors have said, no matter what trouble, God is not weak. He is supernatural, and he can get you through every single situation. He is a great dad, and he loves to protect his children. And you know, a good spiritual father does the same thing. The challenge is making sure you have a spiritual father. And this is the challenge that we have in today's American churches. We have a lot of churches where they go to church and they're in church. Now, I'm not disrespecting you because you're in church. I honor you that you've come to the house of God. But they don't see the man standing behind the pulpit as their pastor. They don't see him as their spiritual father. They see him as, well, that's the preacher, and he gets a paycheck on Monday morning, and yeah, well, you know, I don't even like him. You'd be blown away how many people don't like me, and you're sitting in the seats today. It just shocks me. Why do you even come? I don't get it. As a spiritual parent, my wife and I look at this pastoring thing totally different. We don't take this as, well, we've got a job. I have a vocation. This is, man, we got a lot of kids. We've got a lot of people that we are responsible for. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 that we'll be held accountable for every single person that's in this house. No, that's not amen. I hate that verse. I don't like that verse because that means I've got to stand in judgment for you. That's why some of you get text messages during church. Where are you? That's why moving your seats makes it very hard. Where are you? That's why sometimes I preach messages that are strong, because my wife and I, and man, I tell you, there's no greater spanker in the house of God than my wife. Can I hear an amen? Because she can spank with a smile, and everybody says, wow, that was a great sermon, and if I did it, you'd have stoned me. But it's true. But it gets down to perception. No pastor should ever try to get glory from God. God is the one who gets all the glory. But the truth is that God has placed parents in our lives. God has placed physical parents that reared us and raised us to become successful. And he's put spiritual parents in our lives to do the same thing. And if we don't grasp that, then we can't see God's house as a home. We see it as a place where we go and we do our little cha-ching. We put our nickel in the pot. We do our little religious mode and we head off out the door. And it has no more meaning than going to an institution. Maybe you went to Corning Glass Center. God does not want that. God wants us to be a family, and as a family, we move as one. And that means my wife wants to say something.
I just want to say that your pastor, I have never encountered a man like him that truly loves you. Truly loves you. You know, we don't sit up here so that we can be put on a pedestal or a platform. Do you know why we sit up here? So we can see when you're missing. This man, immediately when he leaves, he doesn't even wait till he leaves church. If you're not here, he's missing you already. He's sending you messages. He goes home. Pastor Dan, you probably get 25 texts every single Sunday. Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? It's because he loves you. We love this body of Christ. We are so proud of you. Every man of God or every ministry that comes through this place says how fabulous of a people you are. We adore this family of God here. We are so proud of you, and we only want to see goodness come out of every single one of you. It is our privilege to be pastors. You know, there's some people that will have no business with pastoring. They want to be evangelists or whatever. We love pastoring you. It is our joy. You know what? Every mountaintop, every celebration is our joy. But you know what else is our joy? Every time we got to get down in the ditch with you. Every time we need to hold you. Every time we need to push you and pull you. That's our joy, because that's life. That's life. And we're here to push and pull and cheer you on and encourage you and tell you when that stove is hot, because that's what a good parent does, is they'll tell you that the stove is hot, don't touch it. We love pastoring this house so much. It is our privilege and our honor to watch the generations. It is such a privilege to see this generations coming up. I think we're on our third generation right now. Some are still in the bellies, ready to come out. Man, that's what makes it worth every single time that we've lost sleep, that we've been crying tears with you. That's what makes it worth it, seeing this go for generations.
So every Sunday before service, we always pray. We have the leadership team come in and pray. And in came little Aaron and this morning, and he said, "Here," and he handed me a card from Aaron. "Thank you for being my pastor. I am praying for you." From Aaron. Aaron Skinkle, if you don't know who I'm talking about. But you see, as a pastor, not as a hired hand, this is the shift. And when you and I do not see what God's plan is, then it is just the hired hand. So that means this. That means, well, it's no big deal that I don't show up for supper on Sunday morning. It's no big deal that I'm not participating. It's no big deal. Listen, I had to empty the garbage yesterday because my children are grown up and they've moved out. I hate emptying the garbage. And there was a liquid in there, and I don't know what it was. And it spewed out all over the floor, and I had to get a mop. I didn't tell my wife. But you see, this is the difference. A true pastor wants to protect his people. You know, some of you, you've come to me and you've asked me questions about books to read and about places to go and different ministries to participate with. And I've said, you know, I don't think that's wise. If you've been in rock solid faith, you've heard me say, and I've identified certain things that are dangerous. Why is that? Because a parent always wants to protect their child from hurting themselves. Babies don't know enough to protect themselves. And let's be honest, most teenagers don't either. What are you hum for?
The teenager's sitting there not listening. Tyree.
Oh, it's getting bloody in this place. Here we go. Sometimes as a spiritual dad, I've got to warn you about people you're hanging around. Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses and contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. "I often warned you that many people are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now in my eyes, I warn you again that you are headed for hell." This is Paul talking, the spiritual father talking to his children. All they can think about is the things of this world. The book of Jude talks about it too, breaks it down. And here we have Paul. You know, Paul was such an amazing man because he was a man that was climbing that spiritual corporate ladder in the Pharisaical world. He was a man that had money. He was a man that had fame. But one day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and it changed his life. And what happened was God transformed him to became a spiritual father to so many people and so many regions, not just cities, but literally regions. And his passion was always, as a spiritual father, to protect them from doing dangerous things, but also to protect them from dangerous people. You know, it's amazing, as the years have marched on, the folks that have come and the folks that have gone, and You know, people come and people go. But it's amazing to me as they have gone, how many of them we have chatted with and realized that I was never their pastor. Some of them almost 14, 15 years. I'm a nice guy. She's a nice lady. She has very nice hair. She wears very nice shoes. But realistically, we are the hired hands. And we want to address that here at this house. You don't have enough money to hire me. No, really, you don't have enough money to hire me. You could not buy me if you wanted to. I am unpurchasable because I've already been bought with a price. Amen. Amen. We're here because God has called us to this region, not just to this town, but to be spiritual parenting in this whole region. And God has blessed us. We are able to pastor many pastors and invest in them and speak to them. But nobody can make them, how do I say this right? Nobody can make you receive a pastor. You have to receive them yourself. I'll end with this. I got 27 seconds. When Pastor Mary Edlin was alive back in 1992, my wife and I met her. And I went to her and I had never had a pastor. See, I was brought up in a denomination where there really were no spiritual parents. It was more just, you know, this is your district guy. This is your representative guy. This is your big corporate guy. Nice guys. But they really gave you nothing. They never spoke to your spirit. They never called you. They never had a vision. They never sent Pastor Dan. And I remember sitting with her. My wife and I were sitting with her the first day. And we were at, what's that potato place? Zeke's? Is it Zeke's up in Rochester? Zeb's up in Rochester. I had just ordered potatoes because they actually have real potatoes there. And I sat across from her and I said, would you be our pastor? And she said, you need to know what that means to me. And I said, what does that mean? She said, that means that you're going to trust me. You're going to trust me with your spirit. You see, the amazing part is when you ask someone to be your pastor, you're actually saying, here's my spirit, make me like you. Paul made the declaration, follow me as I follow Christ. That's why the pastor you sit on has a direct impact on where and how your vision will ever be fulfilled. And I looked at her and I said, okay, I understand that I'm submitting my life to you. She said, that means, Pastor Spencer, that if I tell you to step out of ministry at any point in time, you're going to do it. Well, now it's a whole different world, isn't it? It's one thing to be submitted to somebody. It's another thing to obey them. It's one thing to say you're submitted to somebody until they ask you to do something you don't want to do, or you don't understand, or you don't like. And so she said to me, you're going to have to step down if I tell you to step down. I said, I got to go pray about this. No, really, I had to go pray because that's not small, that's big. And so I went and I spent a week seeking the Lord. And I said, God, I just see in her spirit things that I need. And she's willing to give. And she wants to rear and raise. And listen, nobody could spake you better than Pastor Mary Edlin. She had a big old white bun on her head. She was 4'11", bent over. And her church was 80% minority, only 10% Caucasian, and the rest were all from the rest of the world. So here she is, and we came to a conclusion. She really loves us. She wasn't saying, you got to pay your tithe to me. That's what, I don't know if you know that, but that's what churches do these days, is if you're a pastor, underneath a pastor, they make you pay your tithe to them. It's a good money game. My wife and I looked at her and she said, she's not requiring anything from us. She only truly cares for us. And so my wife and I submitted under her ministry, which means you did too. And all the way up to the last day she took her breath and she went home to be with Jesus, she only gave. Now, I'm not saying it was always comfortable. There was things she did in our lives I did not like. Things she said to me I did not want. Times she corrected me, I was quite upset. But I know this. She only had one thing in mind. As a spiritual mother, she wanted to make us great. All true parents want to make their children greater than them.
He just said exactly what I was going to share, is as spiritual parents, that's always a parent's desire, is to protect and raise up their children to greatness, to go even beyond them. There is no greater joy for a parent to have their children go up and achieve greatness. And that is the desire that we have for every single one of you, is if there's anything that we can do to propel you, to push you, to be your cheerleader, to cause you to be successful, that is our heart's desire. And sometimes that requires correction from the Word of God. But our only desire is that you would excel in the things of God, every single one. Not just, I mean, we have more than one child. We didn't just invest everything into one child. We want every single one to excel to the greatness that God has for you. So how does that apply to you today? We want greatness for every single one of you. Everyone. No one left behind. Nobody's discounted. There's not too many that there's somebody that falls through the cracks. Every single one achieving the great things that God has for you.
So today we want you to know this. We're not your hired hands. We're spiritual parents. And we love you. And we care for you. More than just words. You have a staff of pastors in this church that are over the top amazingly loving you. They love you. They have sacrificed for you. Many of them have given up jobs that could have made more money. I always promise, I've always started our staff off really low because I always wanted to see their heart. I always start them at a wage that they really can't afford, because I want to see if it's about money for them or about loving people. And I want you to know this. You have a great group of pastors who love you. So this is not a religious institution. This is not a quote-unquote church building. This is home. And we all have an amazingly heavenly Father. Isn't he awesome? Can you give your heavenly Father a hand clap this morning? Father, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us more than we could even love you. And as your spiritual parents in this home, we love you. Yes? We love you. Some of people are saying, well, the church is getting too big, I can't touch you. That's not true. Every Tuesday I'm in that room, and anybody that's here knows I'm the last one to leave. I'll talk to you till 10, 11 o'clock at night. No questions asked. I'm here on Thursdays. My wife is here. We're here during the daytimes. We have an amazing staff who have the heart that is of the house. We love you. Please allow the Holy Spirit to make a transition in your thinking. This is not an institution. We are not your hired hands. This is God's home. We are God's family. I said we are God's family, part of the household of faith. And today, God has placed us here 18 years ago. Many people are wondering, when are you leaving? We are lifers here. We're never leaving. God told us that when we started this church. You are lifers and you are never leaving. At times I've wanted to leave. No, really. At times I've wanted to leave. But we're lifers here. Because God sent us here. And we love you. Will you bow your heads with us this morning? Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you're not part of the family of God. That doesn't mean you don't love God, but you've never accepted Jesus into your life. You don't know Him as your Savior. Today, Christ came so that His blood will wash away every single sin. So that today you can say, without question, when you leave this place, not only do I have a heavenly Father, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I die, I'll be in heaven with Him today. You see, God has a home for you, not just in the by and by, but right now with people that are surrounding you near your chairs. Today, if you do not know Christ, we want to introduce to you the very best friend you'll ever have. He's faithful, and He's a good, good Father. Amen? Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. If you want Him in your life, I'm not going to wait real long. We've gone long. Young lady, I see your hand. Amen. That's right. Little babies respond to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. Put your hand right back down. Anybody else? Not going to wait real long. Come on. 5, 4. Get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I know the last few weeks have been different. We'll get back to the normal style preaching here someday soon. But I believe that it's imperative that you know the hearts of your pastor. And when I say pastor, I'm not saying me, it's we. More she than me. No, I'm just kidding. We've been married, you know what I'm talking about. This is about family. Many of you have stayed aloof. What does that mean? You don't know anybody here. You've never met anybody in the building. Today I challenge you, well, I don't like people, then you need to get saved. No, you need to hear me. If you don't like people, you need to get saved. Because there's something wrong with you inside. What do I mean by that? I mean this. God put it in you to love people. So when you don't love people, you're unhealthy. You need to get healed. You need to get saved. God will put a love for people in your heart all over again. Amen. Father, I just release a blessing upon the house this morning in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that we are a family. I declare, God, that we are your family, that we are part of your household. And Father God, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us and calling us into your family. Today, God, we ask for one thing. That Jesus, we may move as one. That the devil will not get our region in Jesus' name. But Lord, you will send us out with one heart, with one mind, with one action of the Holy Ghost to do great and mighty things for Jesus. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise. And everybody said, amen. Those who raise their hand for salvation, I'd love to meet you. If you could come right out of your chair, come right on up here. If you're a guest in the house, we'd love to meet you personally. Right around this back corner off the left-hand side, there is a guest reception. We'd love to spend some time and get to shake your hand.
And oh, happy day, you wash my sin away.